All right, so today we have Chloe Mesdaghi, founder and CTO of Sustained Cyber. So welcome to the podcast, Chloe.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
All right, so the topic today is security, AI, and policy and regulation. So let's start with security. I guess at a high level, Chloe, obviously our listeners are probably working in companies where there's a healthy cybersecurity budget. But how does AI security differ from traditional cybersecurity?
Yeah, so I would just say that in itself, AI is a black box. We don't really have too much transparency or explainability. And to give you a really good idea of how that situation is that transparency shows AI how it works, and then explainability shows why it makes decisions. The thing is that we aren't doing well enough in that area. And so when you have technologies that are like a black box, it's very hard to secure. So for example, a good way of looking at, you know, foundational model transparency is there is a foundation model transparency index, which rates, you know, foundation models from a 0 to 100, 0 being like there's absolutely no transparency whatsoever, to 100 being completely transparent. And in 2023, these results came out with Meta Llama 2, which had the highest score out of all, but it scored a 54. Now, remember that score index is from a 0 to 100. And then when it comes to like OpenAI, ChatGPT-4, the total score that it received was 48. Now, Meta Llama is an open development versus OpenAI ChatGPT is a closed development. So if you're thinking of like, well, our foundational models, you know, that are open, safer, they're slightly more transparent. But the thing is, it's very hard to secure something like that. And right now, there's a huge knowledge gap and how to go about that. But also, companies aren't doing what is needed at this time when it comes to cybersecurity measures either.
So, Chloe, when you talk to executives and teams at these companies, do you make a distinction between traditional AI and traditional machine learning and the new AI that relies on these foundation models, the so-called generative AI?
I would say that in general, when we have conversations about securing AI, it also is including, you know, your models as well. But it's also just kind of knowing, what am I supposed to do? What are the regulations I need to be aware of? Or what frameworks are there for me to use? And those are most of the questions are, what am I supposed to do here? I'm concerned. And I need to figure out how to go about it. Because for some time now, you know, we've had AI for a while. But for some time now, security has not been part of that conversation. Security hasn't been in place to help making sure that models are secure. Also, security folks, where do they turn to learn how do I go about securing, you know, AI? Because there isn't really any certifications at this time that really does dive into that. So if you think about it, we're kind of in a really tricky situation where we're playing a massive catch-up game, but we've also haven't been in the room to be aware of all the different things we need to be aware of for a good number of years.
So in traditional cybersecurity, people usually, I would suspect at this point, have incident response playbook. So what's the state of awareness among AI teams of having an incident response strategy? Because my impression, Chloe, is they don't even define what an incident is.
You are very much, yes, I would say yes. So I think we've always had an issue, even with traditional cybersecurity, on making sure our incident response plans are not ad hoc or haven't expired. What I mean is that I think there was a study by the Ponerman Institute a couple of years ago, which said about, I think it was 74, but I could be wrong. So let's just say anywhere between like 72 to 74% of organizations that they would usually do an ad hoc when it came to an incident, or it would be that the thing was so out of date that they couldn't utilize it. So I think we've always had this problem And a lot of that has to do with not being aware of all the different technologies or software or products that the company is using at the time. So it's very hard to try to defend yourself or to protect if you don't know everything in your environment.
So actually, to inject a sense of urgency among our listeners on this thing, at Chloe's previous company, they have this report, which is the AI threat landscape, which was released in November 2024. I think they found 77% of the companies they talked to reported breaches in their AI systems.
Yeah, so I think a really interesting statistic that came out last year by the Global State of Responsible AI Act was about the adoption of AI-related cybersecurity measures by region. So they measured over 1,000 organizations participated, and they checked for 5 security measures. And for North America, 70% of them said that they do about 1 or 2 of those security measures. Once again, those are 5 total security measures. And that 24% roughly adopt anywhere from like 2.5 or like kind of 2, maybe 3 to up to 4 measures. And the average number of measurements that were adopted that they found out was like 2.38 to be exact with you. So yeah, we're kind of in a situation here.
So let's say I'm a technical leader at the company, and listening to this podcast, I come to realize, hey, I have to update my incident response playbook for AI. So what are some of the first things I should be thinking or doing?
Make sure you have all the right people in the room. I think one of the things that we still have issues with is department silos and lack of communication across. So that means your system needs to be heard. I think one of the things that I've always seen this trend since being in the space is that CISOs can be dismissed or not even in the room when it comes to decisions. And that has a lot to do with concern that it may restrict innovation. It may restrict the product launch dates. And that, you know, that's not good for business usually. And so I think that's one of the things is ensuring that you have your CTOs in the room, you have your chief data scientists in the room, you have your ML developers in the room, you have all the right people that are there to ensure that there's safety and everyone's taking the precautions that they need, but also learning that there are resources out there to help you along your way.
So for the companies that have a mature cybersecurity incident playbook that they now want to update for AI, I'm assuming they got to a place where their traditional security playbook is good because they did collect all the key people in the room. So I guess from what you're saying, what AI brings is you have to include even more people.
Yeah. You have to really ensure that those silos are broken down, but also making sure that you're addressing that there is an AI knowledge gap when it comes to securing AI. And so by knowing that, that's really important to have. And also be aware that there is insufficient security training for data scientists and developers when it comes to securing AI. So you can't fully rely on your data scientists and developers to do that for you. And they don't have the time either. And the security folks themselves, they don't know where to turn sometimes, but how do I educate myself? Or making sure that companies also invest in the training of the security professionals to ensure that they're also aware of how to secure AI. There's not a lot of courses out there. There's not a lot of programs out there. So we'll see a lot of that developing this year. I think there'll be a good number of ones that will be released over the next few years because we are playing that catch-up game, but they are working on it.
Actually, I'm an advisor to Luminos.ai, the company that spun out of Luminos.law, and they're building something interesting, which is right now the name of it is an alignment platform. But basically, it does a few key things that what you're describing, which is basically it's a central place where people from different departments can collaborate. Because right now, honestly, when people try to collaborate on AI security or AI compliance, what do they use? Google Sheets, Google Spreadsheets, right? So you really need a central place where people can, of different backgrounds, because some are coders, some are lawyers, some are designers. And so everyone is working off of the same thing. Something so basic like that.
It's so weird, right? You would think we would have addressed these communication silo issues by now. But if anything, I think AI has opened up or lifted those bandages off, which you showed that we've never actually fixed this problem in the first place. And now you're introducing new technology to it. So it becomes kind of dangerous in many ways. But there are resources out there. Like, for example, if you're a company, I highly recommend looking at Databricks. They have an AI security framework, DASF. And what it does, it categorizes about 55 security risks across your entire AI life cycle and throughout the stages. And it is mapped to the MITRE Atlas. It's also mapped across the OWASP top LLMs. It is such a great document to start working off of to make sure you can secure. I would say that's one. Of course, be familiar with the NIST risk framework as well. Also be aware of MITRE Atlas. It's a great community place to kind of learn a little bit more about what are the different risks one should be aware of when it comes to AI, when it comes to security and safety. And also, you know, OWASP has always been out, you know, they're revising the top 10 and love exciting things. There's also the OWASP AI Exchange, which is trying to become like the center where anyone who needs to learn anything about securing AI can go to.
So full disclosure, I'm also an advisor to Databricks, and also Luminos help write the NIST framework. So it's interesting. I'm actually not in this area, but for some reason, I interact with a lot of people in this area. So this knowledge gap, as you mentioned, so data scientists obviously not that familiar with securing code, but on the other hand, security professionals not that familiar with AI. So there's a knowledge gap on both sides there. So what are some of the best practices that you've seen for kind of addressing this two-sided knowledge gap?
I think being honest of where your company stands, being honest, where are we right now? Are we doing this? We have these policies set up. Are we doing a good enough governance? Am I doing a good enough job as a leader? These are questions one should always ask on how to improve things. Is there something I don't know about in the environment? Because chances are, that's probably true. So really ensuring to be that bridge person. I think one of the things that we always talk about is making sure we do like DevSecOps, for example, or MLSecOps, now we can also say. But it's really important is to be that leader. Be that leader that's like, okay, we need a bridge here. We need to break down these silos. We need to ensure that what we're building is safe and secure, and we need to work together. And so one of the things is being aware of who owns what, who's responsible for what, and who is going to be the leader when it comes to communicating these things.
So in the enterprise, one issue that is actually also borne out in multiple surveys is this notion of, so everything we've discussed so far is AI, is official in some ways, so some official capacity that the company is aware of. But there's also this notion of shadow AI, or I guess bring your own AI, because knowledge workers, they go home and they use things that may not be officially sanctioned by the companies, right? So maybe they're using Gemini or ChatGPT or Claude and copying and pasting all sorts of things from the company. So are there specific things that companies should be doing around this notion of shadow AI? Because I guess on the extreme front, it's let's ban everything that are not sanctioned. But then people get unhappy. They love abusing these tools, right? So what would you advise companies?
I'm going to be honest. Someone's going to be doing it regardless. And we already know it, right? And that's the thing. If we keep pushing some sort of agenda that isn't working for our employees, they're going to find a way to bypass it. And then that's when you have those data leaks. That's when you have those breaches. So it's better to just be aware, this is what's happening. It's not how do I fix it? It's how do I improve things? How do I improve these for my employees? Because you should be listening to your employees. If this is what helps them do a better job at their job, then they need to use it. And so be there to support them on that front, but also have governance policies there. So everyone internally knows, okay, if you're going to use, you know, ChatGPT or Gemini, make sure that you don't share the following things and have a list of those things for them to be able to go to. And then constantly remind people over and over that there are policies. This is what you're allowed to do. This is what you're not allowed to do. And so people are aware, this is where I go to check. And then make sure that they take ownership of that and let them know that you will be accountable if you don't follow these policies. And that's the thing, is that we also have to ensure accountability. If someone isn't doing those policies and they're aware of those policies, then that's on them.
And, you know, this presumes that everything that we're talking about happens on the desktop, but obviously these AI applications are now on mobile phones. The company may not even own, right? So we're recording this early January, and I guess it's you might as well give us an update of regulations that are coming on board. So we hear about the EU AI Act more or less passed, and I don't know exactly the timing of implementation. There's something from Colorado, I think, coming online in February. New York City passed something around AI for human resources sort of application. So give us a sweeping tour of some of the key things that AI teams should be aware of in 2025.
You got it. Okay, so the EU AI Act, for those that aren't aware, it's based on risk-based regulation. So it classifies AI by risk levels that could be, you know, unacceptable, high risk, you know, limited, minimal. And the focus areas are really about like having strict rules on safety, transparency, and human oversight. It also has prohibited AI, such as do not build anything that has bias or can be harmful. In other words, also, please don't make sure you create a situation like Minority Report, the movie. So nothing about predicting crime risks. And then when it comes to transparency, it's to require disclosure when interacting with AI like chatbots and so on. So what this does is that it ensures that companies are going to be really in front of governing and regulating their own systems and auditing and making sure that everything is in place, that they're not trying to do any harm to society, but also to be very transparent with what they're building and how it's being accessible and so on. Now, the AI Act it really does seek to boost AI adoption, but there are critics that warn of risk to the EU innovation, such as like, this may be hard for startups, small businesses, or medium businesses to do anything innovation in AI because of the regulations and restrictions. Now, this is, if you talk to other people, there are some people that claim that the US has been actually promoting this anti-AI act narrative to devalue EU startups for easier acquisition and also for companies to move to the US from Europe to keep ensuring that the US is, you know, the global superpower when it comes to AI. So those are things to be aware of when it comes to EU AI Act. Let's see here. All right. So when we're talking about the US, the Biden administration really focused on investing in AI. What that means is ensuring that there's a good enough funds investing in any companies or academic institutions to study and research AI, because the US does want to become that superpower. And also, there is this concern in the U.S. of China's growing use of AI. I believe China has more proprietary knowledge on AI at this time. So if you think about it, they have more patents. And so the U.S. is concerned about this because they still want to be the global power, right? So one of the things that Biden was ensuring is to advance AI innovation. That means like, you know, to promote responsible AI development and maintain, you know, U.S. leadership in AI. It also means to ensure the security and safety. So implementing standards for AI safety, security, and privacy. Also investing in, you know, organizations to help the U.S. develop those items as well. Also to protect the rights of, you know, of folks and the in this country to prevent AI biases, civil rights, and consumer privacy.
So the Biden stuff is voluntary and subject to complete, I guess, discontinuation by the incoming administration, right? So what are the things in the U.S. that are more or less locked in place? I think Colorado, right?
So, yeah. So one of the things is because we don't have any federal legislation when it comes to AI at this time, states have been taking it up to doing it themselves. So you do have the Colorado AI Act, which is a risk-based one, similar to like the EU Act, AI Act. And that's something that is now starting in other states where they're starting contemplating whether or not doing something similar. So California, end of last year, there was actually a piece of legislation that was moving very forward, but was actually, it didn't go forward, let's put it that way. And so but there is news today that there is a New York legislator who wants to bring that same legislation over to New York, but taking all the good stuff, I believe is what the legislator has claimed. So those are things to be aware of. Now, there are several different rumors out there about what will happen when the Trump administration comes in. There are talks of, well, maybe the Trump administration will do something around, you know, ensuring that there is a federal law around regulation around AI. But granted, the Trump administration, when it comes to regulating AI, it's been mostly about ensuring that there is no stifling of innovation and things that aren't not going to be too restrictive to companies. So in other words, may remove the executive order on AI that was, you know, issued in 2023 by the Biden administration.
So historically, when it comes to regulations, let's just say, I guess the most recent example is data privacy, right? Historically, companies end up, because there's so many rules, fragmentation of rules, they just end up kind of planning and optimizing whatever they're doing for the strictest rule, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's basically, if I can comply with this rule, I complied with everything else, right? So is that the expectation here for AI?
It's possible. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see in the next few weeks how things develop. I mean, we're recording this right now, and the beginning of January, this is before Trump administration takes office. I mean, it could happen literally on, you know, the day he takes in, the next day, and we'll see. We'll see how things are.
Yeah, we have to talk to Sachs and see what he thinks, huh? All right. So let's see. So when you talk to executives, right? So we've talked a lot on a bunch of different topics here, right? So are executives now serious about AI? Is AI risk and AI compliance, or is this a board level issue at this point?
Oh my God, this has been an issue, I think, since last year when attending the Black Hat. That was the concerns I was hearing quite a bit. Is, okay, we need to take care. We have to be concerned about these restrictions, these regulations. We need to ensure that, you know, we're not crossing anything that we're not supposed to. And I'll be honest, you have a good number of CISOs that are quite concerned, especially if it is going to be something where each state has their own. That becomes really tricky. That's like patchwork, trying to figure out, am I doing everything right in this state versus that state? And that makes things so incredibly complex and hard to keep track of. And this is a huge concern and a stress for any CISOs out there, and also, you know, any executives out there as well, of making sure you're compliant.
So if we follow the money, all right, so this is, following the money is a good indicator, right? So in cybersecurity, you've got massive budgets, right? At this point. So what's the budget for AI security and AI compliance?
See, that's a tricky one, because we haven't had like a massive breach that has taken over the news when it comes to AI. It's one of those things where, well, do we need it though? And that's the conversation people are trying to figure out how to respond to. So CISOs are like, yeah, we kind of do need to be proactive here, because I want to make sure that I'm doing my job well. And I don't get blamed for something that I asked for funds for. And that's really the situation, is there is this concern that we're not investing enough when it comes to securing AI. And that's a tricky situation because you got that knowledge gap, but also not a lack of investment in that area because we haven't had a massive breach that has, you know, taken over all our news at this time. But it will happen, just like any breach. It will happen. We just don't know when. And that's why we have to be much more proactive at this time than being reactive, because that's how we usually are.
On the technical front, there's actually also an interesting trend in that it's become easier to build a kind of somewhat deceptively convincing prototype. And so people are enamored because they can build something within a week, and then now someone may tell them, well, okay, so that's good, but why don't you take the next 4 weeks to make sure that you're risk-free and you're compliant? So there's kind of an imbalance between the ease of building something that looks good, and then now they're being told to take their time before they release, right? And so one of my predictions this year, I don't know if you agree with this, Colby, is that I think that legal sign-off will become more of a thing for AI applications moving forward in many companies, just because now we're starting to see some regulations come in place. And like you said, there might be some breaches. So by the end of the year, legal sign-off might become one of these checkboxes for AI. What do you think?
I think it has everything to do with your cybersecurity insurance. So if your cybersecurity insurance is enforcing certain regulations and certain rules, you need to follow it. And I think that's usually the drive to ensure that legal signs off on certain things. So I think it's really is going to be up to cybersecurity insurances on this front.
So on the policy and regulation side, so as we bring this to a close, so what are some things on your radar that you think that the general public is still not quite paying attention to?
I think it's just to be aware of everything related to AI. I think one of the things that in cybersecurity in general, we should also be aware of AI ethics. So being aware of what we're building and how that can impact society, I think that's really important for us to be aware of. That's something that we should have more conversations about. I also think that everyone should probably take a look at the bipartisan U.S. House AI Task Force report that came out in December of last year. This was a lot of work and a lot of effort went into it. It is over 273 pages, but granted, it is definitely worth a read to know where we are in the U.S. when it comes to regulating AI and what are the concerns at this time. It's quite a good piece of work that, you know, both sides came together to work on and to put out. If you want to be aware of everything that's happening globally on the policy front, I really do recommend is checking out the OECD AI. They have a policy hub, so you can learn everything that you need to know about what are the policies that are trying to be pushed out on a global scale for your company to be ahead of. So even if we don't have federal legislation at this time, I think it's a great resource to know what you should be prepared for in case those things happen, so your company is ahead of the game. And then also there is the World Economic Forum. They did come out with a Presidio AI framework, which is focuses on safety and governance. It's also a really good read that we don't talk about too much, but maybe another thing to look at. And of course, do check out OWASP AI Exchange, the top 10 LLM. Do be familiar with MITRE ATLAS framework, DASP. Oh my God, this is an amazing thing. I'm not going to like, it is such a great and relief that this thing exists now. So do check it out. And then also be aware of NIST AI framework. And there's so much that will be added on. So many changes are happening this year in policy and regulation when it comes to AI. So just be aware of things and, you know, keep your eyes on the news and, you know, keep ahead of everything.
And in closing, I think for me, the main takeaway here is AI is inherently a team sport that's interdisciplinary. So we've gotten used as technologists to only kind of paying attention to the technical side, but this is truly one of these technology trends where you really need people from different backgrounds and different skill sets to really get your house in order.
Absolutely.
And with that, thank you, Chloe.
Thank you for having me. It was great.